Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's from Matthew. What does that mean? How does it apply to you and your life, if it even does? That's what we'll explore today. Welcome to our Sunday service. It's always been really important to stand up for ourselves. It's really important to advocate for our wants, our needs, what we believe to be true, our principles, our loved ones, the things that we believe to be true, proper, correct, right. Not to remain silent in the face of just seeing things around you that you know aren't right. What do I do? How do I stand up for this? How do I advocate? So we've been going through a really challenging, difficult time where the behavior of lots of people was, if you are not with us, you are against us. If your opinion is outside of what is acceptable, you are voted off of the island. We had cancellations, deplatforming, silencing, shadow banning, this, that, and the other thing. And all that, a lot of that, I think, was really designed to have us not advocate for ourselves, have us not stand up for ourselves, have us not talk about what we believe to be true and what we believe to be right. We were the silent majority, and whether that was actually a real thing or a manufactured thing, who knows? I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is we must advocate for ourselves. And I use that word really carefully because I want everybody to be an advocate for their point of view. I don't want you to become a zealot. The difference there is that an advocate is open-minded. They are willing and able to take in new information and to process it and to change your mind, change your opinion, change your thinking. Able to recognize and ask yourselves the question, what if the opposite of what I believe is actually true? To have that kind of a conversation, to be really self-aware. Whereas a zealot is not that. They are absolutely blind to any other opinion. They will do whatever it takes to get their way. And that is, from my perspective, not the way to build a high trust, reciprocal society. That's what we need. We need to be able to trust everybody in society. We need to appreciate that people are good actors and that they are going to do what they say they're going to do, and they're open to playing nicely with others, being kind, not wanting to kill or destroy somebody because they believe that whatever, their take on a political idea or cultural idea is different. Without the ability to confidently express our opinion without fear of reprisal or damage or harm, it just doesn't work. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. And as Jesus taught, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be truthful with your thinking and your speech and how we interact with other people, because there is a very, very fine line between being courageous and just being clumsy, between being bold and being belligerent. And to be able to live fully, we have to be able to speak up for our principles, for our values, and for the truth. Yet we have to also do it in a way that is going to be respectful and preserve the dignity of others, even if it doesn't prefer, or rather preserve their comfort. So we want to preserve others' dignity, but not necessarily their comfort, because I don't need to be comfortable all the time. In fact, quite the opposite. I'm a fan of being uncomfortable, of taking in new ideas and struggling with them, making mistakes, being able to articulate, being able to robustly debate things. And when people are being canceled, silenced, or pressured into conformity, that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. So is losing our credibility by speaking in an aggressive way. So it is both a challenge and an invitation to develop what is referred to and what Aristotle, he created it, this idea of practical wisdom, knowing the right thing to say in the right way at the right time. So we're always trying to thread this needle. But I think that so long as we are being genuine, and honest in our communication, that is the linchpin of it. That I'm not being disingenuous, that I'm not just saying what needs to be said to get what I want. So I'm going to circle back on Aristotle, but I also want to explore this from a faith-based perspective and talked about how Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's about honest and clear speech without manipulation or excess. So while he was saying that, he also, this is the same guy who overturned tables in the temple when injustice demanded bold action. So Jesus and Christianity models both measured truth-telling and righteous confrontation. So not saying be totally passive, but we need to pick our spots like Aristotle was talking about. Judaism, the Talmud, emphasizes tohaka, which is responsibility. We must speak truth to others if they stray, but we must do it with care. So the rebuke is heard rather than rejected. So the rebuke is heard rather than being rejected. If you're too heavy-handed, people are not going to, they're just not going to get the message. So it's the idea of, again, standing firm while respecting the relationship. Islam, Prophet Muhammad taught that the best form of jihad is a word of truth spoken to a tyrant ruler. So speech can be resistance, but it is directed, courageous, and purposeful, and not reckless. So we need to be measured. Buddhism talks about the noble eightfold path, which talks about right speech. The word should be true, beneficial, and timely. It's possible to be honest, still gentle, forthright, and still compassionate. That's powerful right there. It requires skill. So we need a more fine instrument than just a hammer. If your only go-to is a hammer and you're just smashing everything, when you need a scalpel or you need a magnifying glass, you need to keep that in mind. What tool am I using to get my message across? And can it be refined? In the Bhagavad Gita, which is obviously Hinduism, talks about standing up for one's dharma or duty, but doing so without ego, without hatred. So the struggle is about that tension. Arjuna's struggle on the battlefield is about that tension, how to fight for what's right without letting rage or despair grab hold of the reins or grab the wheel. So you got to fight for right, but in a truthful, forthright manner. From a philosophical perspective, Socrates talked about choosing death over silence. So for him, truth and integrity were worth more than life itself. He delivered his challenge through questioning, dialogue, rather than diatribe. The Socratic method, which is essentially how to get people to, how to help people make up their own mind on things, how to help them come to the solution that you're interested in having them arrive at just on their own. And you do that by asking questions. Socrates wasn't just, reading people the Riot Act. He was asking questions, challenging them, inviting them to engage. Aristotle, he talked about the golden mean, reminding us that virtue lies between extremes. It's just right. Cowardice is too little courage. Recklessness is too much. So true courage is right in the middle there. And the same applies to speech. Epictetus, which is he's a Stoic, talked about it's not what happens, but how you respond that matters. So Stoics famously say that, we don't have control over many of the circumstances of life, but we have total control over how we think, feel, and respond to those circumstances. And that's a powerful message. So a Stoic speaks truth without anger, rooted in self-control, firm, but never frantic. Where do we see frantic communications taking place? Obviously on social media, it's the most frantic place in the world. People just breathlessly screaming into the wind a lot of the time. Kant talked about truth-telling as a moral duty. He's thought that lying, even if it is for convenience, is a way to undermine our dignity. He also held that respect for others must guide how truths are shared. So whatever message, we have to be respectful in how we're actually communicating it. So I wanted to circle back on Aristotle's idea about practical wisdom. And it was his belief that virtues aren't just about knowing what's good. They're about doing the right thing in real situations. So it's not just knowing, it's also doing, which makes a lot of sense, right? Practical wisdom. So wisdom is just, I know. But the practical, pragmatic part is that I also do. Look at it like the difference between literacy and wellness. I can understand everything about diet and the world and exercise. But if I never apply those things, then I'm going to be less healthy. Financial literacy versus financial wellness is knowing and doing. So same here. His idea was that Sophia is theoretical wisdom. So it's understanding and knowing universal truths as well as abstract principles and eternal knowledge. Phronesis is the idea of practical wisdom. It's the ability to deliberate well about what is good and beneficial for a particular person in a particular circumstance. Practical wisdom isn't necessarily the art of good judgment. It's not following rules blindly, but learning to balance competing values and emotions to act in a way that serves both truth and harmony. So the key features of practical wisdom are that golden mean. So remembering that every virtue lies between two extremes. So courage is in the middle of cowardice and recklessness. Respect lies in the middle of servility and arrogance. Truthfulness lies in the middle between silence and bluntness. So finding that middle point and actually exercising or putting it into practice, that is the key. So Aristotle insisted that you can't just learn phronesis from a book. You have to do it. You have to make mistakes. You have to reflect on the mistakes that you made, and then making sure that you are paying attention to the right things, that you are learning from the right people. Where are you getting your information? What content are you consuming? Is it from people that are wise? Is it from people who are just? Is it from people that are virtuous? And I don't know the answer to that question. That's something that you, dear listener, must interrogate on your own. And the reality is that what's right in one situation isn't necessarily going to make it right in every other situation. So telling a harsh truth to a fragile person might do harm, while silence in that moment might actually be the wiser course of action. Aristotle talked about eudaimonia, which is the good life. And he talked about how practical wisdom isn't just about being clever. It's about choices that contribute to human flourishing, which we're all about here on the show. Your flourishing, the flourishing of other people. So it serves the larger goal of living well, not just winning arguments or proving points. And that's where we've devolved into the unfortunate place of just wanting to be right, not finding any common ground or compromise or solution of any kind, just dunking on people, piling on, crushing them, destroying them. That's one of the big things that you see all over the internet these days is so-and-so destroys so-and-so, annihilates, destroys, whatever. Talk about winning the battle but losing the war. My goodness. You destroy somebody, how do you think that's going to go? They're not going to be looking to get retribution on you ever. Well, that's just very, very, very short-sighted. So I think that when we are standing up for our principles without practical wisdom, we're probably going to be more reckless. We're going to be burning bridges like I was just talking about, or we're going to stay silent. It's going to, you know, keep our mouths shut. With practical wisdom, judge the right time, pick the right words, and the right tone. You act firmly, but not cruelly, clearly, but not arrogantly. I think that Aristotle would say that the person with phronesis knows how to be courageous without being combative and how to be gentle without being weak. So the next time you're about to speak your mind, Let's apply these three filters, Aristotle's three filters. Whatever the thing is that you're about to articulate, ask yourself, is this true? Is this fitting for the moment that I'm in? And is this aimed at the good? Not just winning, not just showing off, not just getting likes. Is it true? Is it appropriate for the moment? And is it aligned with human flourishing and greater good? If all three are yes, let it go. That's this idea of phronesis in action. So, all that's required for evil to win is for good people to do nothing. So, we must advocate for ourselves. We must advocate for the truth. We must advocate for our principles. We must advocate for our loved ones. We must advocate for what matters to us. We must focus on what must be done in service of what matters, and then we must do that. And I think that asking yourself, is it true? Is this the right time? And am I advancing the conversation? Am I moving things forward, or just am I just making myself happy? Am I lashing out? Will that solve all of our problems? No, but I think when we recognize that having our speech limited is a dangerous and very nefarious thing, if not the most dangerous and most nefarious, that we're going down the wrong path and that we need to readjust, figure out what does matter, what is important, what is true, and then stand on that. And let chips fall where they may. It's okay to tell people that we disagree with them. It's okay to advance our position. If we do so respectfully, cogently, thoughtfully. Your truth, what you believe, your truth, sorry. The truth is worth and must be stood up for. We have to stand for what's true. We have to stand for what's right. Because if we don't, zealots of all different shapes and sizes and stripes are certainly not going to stop advancing their agenda. And then we wake up and we're like, holy cow, how did all this happen? This happened quickly, but it didn't. It happened one biting of the tongue at a time where you didn't advocate for yourself. You didn't say, no, this is not right. This is not how we do things. This is not making the world better. And that's fundamentally what we're going for. So, as always, as Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You do your part by doing your best.